it's not a black mold, that's just a feature wall.
It's a room of one's own with Auckland renters advocate Celine on 95 BFM.
Kia ora, Celine. How are you?
Kia ora. I'm good.
We're literally everyone who's come into studio today. We're like, how about this weather?
I know.
Oh, we're all pathetic, but it is nice.
It's almost September.
It is. And I feel like actually for all renters, the change in season is genuinely lovely.
Truly.
The crying windows in my flat, good Lord.
Yeah, the clothes are drying, you know. It's the first time I've had dry clothes in months.
Yeah, truly. We have got many questions that have come in from the listeners. Also, 5395, if anyone's got any last minute bits to send through. We've had one that says, hey, Celine, what's the best way to ask, in that voice, hey, Celine, what's the best way to ask for a rent decrease? I've heard of people asking for them at flat viewings and it being successful, but it almost seems too good to be true. Is the renting landscape really that accommodating? Also, is it possible to ask for a rent deduction while I'm already living there?
Okay, yes. I don't know if I would think it was that accommodating, but that's from that is my experience. So I think it's you should be able to do that, but obviously the renters aren't often in a good position if you're really trying to find a flat to, like, do that. So it's all very dependent on context and the situation. And I would say in general, that's kind of what it says in all the advocacy and tenancy services stuff online, is that it's about a conversation. Yeah. And you see what you... So there's tenancy services has a really good resource, as well as Arotohu, talks a little bit as well about how you communicate for a rent decrease or lower rent if you're struggling.
Mm-hmm.
But it's mainly kind of like advising the tenant to communicate well and advising the landlord to, you know, have empathy and understand.
Oh my God.
So it doesn't really have much.
Advising the landlord to have empathy is a wild sentence.
Yeah. So I'm not so sure how supported you are in terms of doing that. But there are situations in which you can, if you think the rent is way above market rent, then you have like a definitive way to argue that. And that can be used the tenancy tribunal for that.
And is that a pre-signing a lease or a post-signing a lease conversation or both?
Well, that's a post-signing a lease conversation in terms of the tenancy tribunal, but I'm not quite the thing. They have to advertise the rent when you go and look at something, so you have to know what the rent is. You're not getting into some kind of bartering bidding conversation. But I'm not entirely sure what you can do about the rent before you sign a lease in terms of that. But there is something where you can really argue for a reduction in a temporary manner as well. So there's been more conversation about this since COVID. So there's kind of, there are situations where maybe you're getting repairs, you might have a rent reduction. You can also argue in personal circumstances to have a temporary rent reduction. But I would say it's very much like you work it out between yourselves and see what happens. So I think it just really depends on how comfortable you feel, the power you feel you have, leverage.
What's the deal with, so someone might want to get a rent reduction, temporary or otherwise.
Yeah.
What's the deal with your landlord saying no? Can they, if you say, for example, said, I haven't got enough money at the moment to pay rent, can they kick you out of your house? I know that's a concern for a lot of people. What's the deal with that?
Yeah, the trouble with it is I'm not 100% sure how that works and what power they have in that way. I would have to do more research on how that process worked. But it is difficult because even though there might be protections where you're like, oh, they can't kick you out for not being able to afford rent, but then there's so few protections in other spaces where you could see yourself. You could get a rent increase instead or something else where they can be using kind of more underhand tactics to respond to that. So I understand that people feel like they're not supported to do stuff like this, but I would really just call an advocate. So like Tenants Protection Association, someone who can really help you not make a misstep legally and know what support is out there for you.
Cool. Maybe we can come back to that as well. Have a look and see what's out there, because it's expensive to live in the world at the moment.
Absolutely.
And houses are a big part of that. What else have we got here, Zoe?
All right. This person says, one of my flatmates has made a huge dent in their wall. I said we should tell the landlord at the next inspection, but they want to hope for the best and hide it. Who is right? And any advice? Lol.
Yeah.
lol. I think we're all looking at each other like, we've all known a situation like that.
Absolutely. Hide it for as long as possible. No, I'm absolutely joking. Do not do that. No, basically, all of the advice around being a good tenant, being a good landlord is all about like communicating as soon as possible. Yeah. So although it is scary and you don't really know what they'll do, letting someone know as soon as possible what's happened, I feel like puts you in a position where you're holding up your end of the deal. That's totally what you're supposed to do. You absolutely report damage, and then you deal with those consequences in a way that you've held up your end of the bargain, and then you can kind of see what comes out in the wash. I feel like you don't want to be doing that. You don't want to be dealing with that when that flatmate moves out, and then you're trying to get someone else in, and then you have this like,
oh, and there's a hole in the wall we didn't tell you about. Yeah.
And we've got to pay, and then this. No, don't deal with that straight away. Yeah, absolutely.
We're not advising you do that at all. But one thing that I think does come up when this happens is who's responsible for paying for that. So if you're all tenants on the lease, who is responsible? Versus if one of you is a tenant and one's a flatmate, what's the deal with that? Who's liable there?
Yeah, so I think the difficulty with this is that if you're all signed on to the tenancy agreement, you're all tenants, so you're all kind of equally liable for the house. But if there's a head tenant and then everyone else is just organised through them and don't have a direct legal relationship with the landlord, mm-hmm. then you could have trouble if you have the person with the dent in the wall decides they're going to not deal with it or not pay and they're going to move out. Your head tenant is still the one that's liable. So right. I think this is really around having some kind of flatmate agreement, just something in writing or something that really just shows that you will share responsibility, or that you can, you know, you really trust that person, or you have some kind of signed document just to make sure you're okay if you're taking on the responsibility for the whole flat.
Totally. Okay, we've got one from someone here who says, hello, I'm renting off a family member for dead cheap, but the house is truly appalling and not at all Healthy Homes compliant. I usually don't mind and I'm happy to hack it for cheaper rent, but the recent wet weather, it's been pretty obvious that it's very unhealthy here. I don't really know how to bring this up with them as their family, and they're renting it out to me for way less than it's worth. Well, it doesn't sound like it's worth that much if it's disgusting to live in, but that's my reckon on it.
Yeah, that is quite grim, and I do understand how so many people get stuck in this situation because you're...
Totally.
You can't afford it. It seems like a good deal. Yeah, I think for this is obviously whatever you're personally comfortable with. I think I would rather pay a bit more and not have to have an awkward conversation with a family member. Mm. Although, of course, they should be like making sure it's safe and healthy, especially given your family. But you would hope either way you're doing that for someone who's living in a property. But I think it's really just trying to work out whether it's worth having that conversation or whether it's better to live in another kind of less personal relationship situation where then you can really hold them to account in terms of what you need and what you deserve, so you don't kind of have the awkward relationship
stuff.
That's fine. Yeah, absolutely.
I've always had asthma.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
It just feels like a recipe for, not being healthy and having worse and worse family relationships.
Yeah, it's a tricky one, eh? Oh, God, it's hard out there. As per usual, we'll put links to lots of useful advocacy groups and support pages in our podcast after the show. And we do speak to Celine every fortnight, so if you do have any renting questions that come up between now and the next time we chat with her, you can text us on 5395 or you can DM us on the 95BFM Breakfast Instagram. And next week we will have Justine answering your union questions, and the same deal applies. Send your thoughts through. Thank you, Celine. Nice to have you in the studio.
No problem. I'll see you soon.
See you soon.
A plague on both your investment houses.
That was A Room of One's Own with Auckland Renters Advocate, Celine.